Good morning. Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral. If you're here visiting with us today, a special welcome to you. If you're joining us online by way of the live stream, and you are actually live at 10:30 on Sunday morning, feel free to leave a message in the chat. We'd love to hear from you. If you're watching us after the fact on the recorded video, you won't be able to do that, but welcome to you as well. If you're listening into the Cathedral Audio Podcast, we welcome you as well. A couple of things by way of announcement, just to remind you that when it comes time for communion, if you can approach by way of two lines up the center and return to your seats by the side aisles, that will help facilitate our movement. And to remind you that at the moment we're not administering by way of intinction, that is, we're not dipping bread in the wine. So if it's not your intention to drink from the common cup, simply pass that by and take only the bread, and you're welcome to do that. Also, if you would rather not make your communion but would prefer a blessing, crossing your arms in this way will indicate that to the administrators. I might also just mention to you that it's with sadness that we note the death of Keith Allen on the 25th of April. So to members of his family and to friends of his, our condolences. And a time for a funeral has been set for Friday, June the 6th at 10 o'clock here at the cathedral. So that's Friday, June the 6th at 10 o'clock. And our prayers for Keith. Just a reminder that if you're planning to join us for the lectionary study, we're looking at the readings for the following Sunday on Tuesday afternoons at 2:30. You're welcome to do that. If you'd like to have print copies of the materials, let me know. I have a couple of those left. Or if for some reason you feel you need to join us online, you're welcome to do that. And if I knew that, I could send you the information about how to connect with us. Otherwise, you're welcome to just come along at 2:30 at the Memorial Hall in the boardroom. And that's during the season of Easter. And a message of celebration and thanks to those who are mothers among us. And we thank God for the gift of motherhood and for the care that all of that means. So those who are celebrating today, we want to express our appreciation for all that you do. And I think that's about it. I know there is a birthday or two today. And I don't know whether, well, no, not me. I'm all done. I'm finished.
No.
I've had all the birthdays that I'm going to have now. No. I'm not going to have another one.
Yeah. No, I was, if you hadn't brought up birthdays at all, I was going to bring yours up.
Oh, you were, eh?
Yes, I was.
You thought you had to do that.
I was, because his birthday was yesterday, and he spent a good half of it with Bishop and Chapter having a time together. So really, he deserves to be celebrated today.
I had put an order in that I shouldn't have a birthday this year.
Too late.
Because I think it would.
You missed the deadline.
Okay, just hang on a second. Because there's another one, at least one. Doug Mylander has a birthday today, and he's just gone around the corner. But and is there anybody else celebrating a birthday? May is the birthday month, you know. Nobody else? Are you having a birthday? No? No birthday? What's that? Oh, the 16th. Oh, that's close enough. Yeah, we can plan on kind of singing happy birthday to you. Yeah, so anybody that has a birthday around now, go for it, Tom. That's great. Is there anything else that needs announcing? I can't imagine what else would. No? We're worshiping today. For those of you who are new among us, we alternate between a more traditional style of worship and the come worship, which is the more contemporary and less formal. And today we're more contemporary and less formal. And most of what you will need, you can find on the blue colored sheet. And we'll begin with the invitation to worship. And as we do that, I'll ask you to stand. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord has risen indeed. Alleluia. Blessing and honor, glory and power is yours, O God. Glory to God forever. Alleluia. O come, let us worship.
Thank you.
O God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do your will, and work in us that which is well-pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we'll be seated for the first reading.
A reading from the Revelation to John. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else. The Father and I are one. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Someone who prefers the matter of fact, the black and the white, the upfront and obvious, must struggle with the Gospel of John. The author of the Gospel of John speaks regularly in ambiguities and uncertainties, using double meanings and layered references to communicate good news. It's been said that reading the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke it's almost possible to taste the dust along the roadside. There, Jesus is fully engaged with the physicality of the world. He rubs elbows with the marginalized, eats with the outcasts, spends most of his time in Galilee. He's sometimes difficult to figure out, but for the most part, he's believably a human person. And in year C, we read primarily from the Gospel of Luke, but during Easter, we find ourselves in the Gospel of John on Sundays. Today marks a shift from hearing about Jesus after his resurrection to once again listening to his teaching before his passion and crucifixion. And so, you know, the Gospel of John is different. It's as if in John's world, Jesus has intruded like an extraterrestrial visitor on the everyday world and made it full of the divine. Or maybe it's that the divine was always there, but he made it possible to see it. In John, almost nobody knows who Jesus really is. His encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well is about the only time he admits to his messiahship. His identity is like a puzzle that the author of the gospel helps us put together, placing the clues yet leaving the building of it and the conclusions to the reader. Some have described the world of the Gospel of John as enchanted. In the Gospel of John, there is mystery at every turn. Multiple layers of meaning, something going on behind the scenes. And we soon learn, reading John, to expect surprises. The themes that we encounter there are far more numerous to identify that we could identify in a 10-minute talk about a snippet of text. But one of those is that in John, there always seems to be a backdrop of festival. Much of what John has to tell us happens in the context of the celebrations of Jesus' Jewish ancestry. His first miracle is at a wedding party. The day Jesus healed on the Sabbath, he had gone up to Jerusalem for a, quote, festival of the Jews. Chapter 7 has Jesus visiting Jerusalem unannounced. John says, secretly, for the autumn festival of booths. And we remember the triumphal entry to the holy city on what we refer to as Palm Sunday, there for the spring festival of Passover. So much of the John text has the backdrop of the festivals of the religious calendar. But perhaps even more important is that in that backdrop is the temple at Jerusalem. The temple, the focus of religious observance in Jesus' day, is central in the Gospel of John. And I find myself asking, why might that be? What's so significant about the temple in the message of the Gospel of John? Early on, you'll remember, Jesus clears the temple. He heals a man and later meets him in the temple. He's often found teaching in the temple, according to John. And today, you guessed it, he's walking in the temple courts during the festival of dedication, Hanukkah. And it was winter, John tells us. The festival of dedication was a messianic observance in which Israel remembered its oppression by its pagan overlords and prayed for deliverance by God's anointed, who would one day, someday, come and push out the pagans and restore Israel to its rightful place among the nations. So what might John be telling us? Jesus' teaching about the Good Shepherd happens in the context of the temple and of the Feast of Dedication. The Jews, a better translation there, we're told, is maybe some Jewish authorities say to Jesus, if you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Give us the black and white. Don't beat around the bush. Just tell us. How long will you keep us in suspense? And scholars debate about whether that word translated suspense actually means one of two things that it could be in the original language. One is, how long will you annoy us or vex us? And the other one has a little more positive slant. How long will you keep the secret? One suggests hopeful inquiry, the other accusation from an opponent. And it could be either one of those, and scholars can't agree which it is. So maybe that word suspense is in the middle somewhere. Maybe that's why it's chosen in the translation that we read. But maybe John is trying to tell us this, that Jesus is the new temple, that Jesus is the fresh, God-given way that humanity is to be with God and God is to be with humanity. Because, you know, that's a thought introduced in John's prologue way back in chapter 1. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of as a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. That Jesus was fulfilling the new role of mediation between God and humanity. Jesus as Messiah. But interestingly enough, not acting like the Messiah that Israel didn't know they shouldn't expect. Not acting like the Messiah that Israel didn't know they shouldn't expect. How's that for John-like language? And here's a fun fact. The sentence, I and the Father are one, in chapter 10, what we read today, is at the exact middle of the Gospel of John. And I wonder if that may have been calculated. Is it possible that John means to draw attention to his most important point, that this Jesus is God, that he and the Father are one? In any case, this much is clear. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. The image of shepherd wasn't one Jesus or John needed to invent. The shepherd was familiar, visible in the workforce of society, but also an image embedded in the Hebrew prophetic tradition. The shepherd metaphor conveyed both leadership and compassionate care. Sheep can count on the shepherd. And once grasped, no one can snatch them out of the shepherd's care. And the prophets of old had spoken of the shepherd as a foreshadowing of the Messiah. So there's an undercurrent message running just below the surface in John, I think, that's also detectable here, even if it's not screaming in our face. We've become so comfortable with the notion that everything is ultimately under our control. We often miss that message. I fear the church has even taught this particular perspective too often. So in a way, it's not really our fault. We have been encouraged to make Jesus our shepherd. What we've overlooked is that actually, it's Jesus who makes us his sheep. It's not so much that we choose him, it's that he chooses us. The church has taught us, just Take that step, brothers and sisters. Make that decision. Call Jesus Lord, and then see how your life will turn around. And then we get caught up in the complicated guilt about not being the effective evangelists God would have us be. We somehow believe that it's all about our effort and our good choices, our ingenious technique, our superior intelligence and understanding, or by doing just the right thing at just the right time, that we can make this dying church live. That religion is something we do. And obviously, if it's not going that great, we're not doing that good of a job. Now, while we are charged to tell others about what we have seen, we are to treat others as we would have them treat us. We are to serve others and share what we have. It's not all up to us to save this operation we call church. The Good Shepherd first chooses us to be sheep. It's not just about our choosing to call him shepherd. So the question might be, do you feel chosen? Because you're here. And you are. And that's an understanding with deep roots in the Judeo-Christian tradition, too. The classic psalm for Good Shepherd Sunday is the 23rd. And we hear repeatedly, who does the choosing? And that point is mostly missed, I think. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul. He guides me. You, O Lord, spread a table before me. You have anointed my head. And the result of all that, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And Jesus is that house. Jesus is the new temple. It has far more to do with him and far less to do with us. Faith does not save us. Religion doesn't save us. And religion isn't something we decide to do. We don't win the prize when we provide the right answer, do the right thing, or invent the perfect plan. Jesus saves. He and the Father are one. Jesus is our salvation, the mediator between God and humanity. The Good Shepherd calls his sheep, and somehow his sheep know his voice. Amen. Join me if you will. You're welcome to remain seated if you like. For an affirmation of faith, and you'll find that on the second page of the blue leaflet. And we'll say this together. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on heaven or in earth, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Amen.
We have come together to worship and adore you, Sovereign God, trusting in your love and mercy, in Jesus, the Good Shepherd who intercedes for us. We offer our prayers and petitions to you, Father, saying, hear our prayer. We pray for all who minister in your name, including Jeffrey, our Dean, David, our Bishop and Metropolitan, Rod and John, all our staff, the acting primate Anne, and our honorary assistant clergy, and in the Anglican cycle of prayer, the Nippon Seiko Kai Japan, Archbishop David Isho Uehara, primate and bishop of Okinawa. In the provincial cycle of prayer, the Diocese of Quebec, Bishop Bruce Myers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray continually for peace in a world where so many conflicts abound, including India and Pakistan, Ukraine and Russia, South Sudan, Yemen, among many others. We ask that you guide them to seek peaceful solutions to long-standing conflicts. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for Pope Leo XIV, that he will guide the faithful with love and purpose, and be an example of both humility and wise leadership. Lord, in your mercy. We ask that you comfort all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, and especially in our thoughts, Gillian, Donna, David and Donna, Charles and Jean, Pat, Dwight, Sue, Skylar, Aaron, Carolyn, Jacob, Stephanie, Neil, Brooklyn, Richard, Janice, Dolph, Len, David and Maureen, Heather, Cooper, Jeff, Lorraine, Savannah, and anyone else you would care to name aloud at this time or in silence. We ask that you lift them up on eagle's wings, as well as those who provide them with care and support. Lord, in your mercy. Generously given, profusely displayed, your graces of goodness pour forth from the earth. As we have received, so free us to give. As we have been granted, so may we give. Lord, in your mercy. Come, Holy Spirit, revive us, enrich us, transform us, to fervently seek your kingdom and righteousness, and in so doing, to live our lives to your glory, so that the message of salvation will continue to spread around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
And words of confession as they're printed. Holy God, we confess that we have strayed from your paths of right relationship and peace, like lost sheep. We have dishonored you, ourselves, and your creation. We repent of these hurtful ways. Forgive us, we pray, as we learn to forgive others and guide our feet into the way of peace. Amen. God's mercy overflows as a healing spring to cleanse us of our offenses. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And I invite you to stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
God of loving care, you spread before us the table of life and give us the cup of salvation to drink. Keep us always in the fold of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Shepherd. Amen. prayer of great thanksgiving, the Eucharistic prayer. During that, you're welcome to remain standing, but you might prefer to be seated or kneel, and that's fine, whatever way you're most comfortable. In this prayer, we listen to our salvation history, and we give thanks to God for that gift of salvation that comes to us through the risen Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray to him that he might continue to inspire and guide us by his Holy Spirit in all that we do. Holy God, planter of green pastures where we might be fed, pooler of waters which nourish us forever, shaper of paths which lead us into your presence, all that you have made is beautiful and good and given to those created in your image. But our ways lead us to choose hunger over the feast you prepare for us. We thirst in the deserts when we could drink deeply from your grace. We stumble off those paths leading to your holy presence. Yet you continue to seek us out to bring us home to your kingdom, preparing a feast for those who may not respond to your gracious invitation. Holy are you, shepherd of all people, and blessed is Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, one with you in every respect. For your name's sake, he left the green pastures to climb to his death at Golgotha. He waded out of the living waters to be drenched by the abuse of the world. He wandered the streets of the kingdom, covered with the dust of sin and death, to lead us into the kingdom of joy. As we seek to follow the Good Shepherd into all the places he would lead us, we celebrate that mystery we call faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts of bread and this cup. In the night that he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the blood that is shed for you. Drink it in remembrance of me." As the bread which is broken makes us whole and the cup overflows with your grace, so pour us out for others, so that we may offer shelter to those who have no home, we may comfort those with hearts broken by the world, so we may share food with all who ache from hunger, so we may guide the thirsty to pools of life we have found. And when our journey is ended, when we are at home with you, resting by still waters, may we find that feast of grace, mercy, and hope you prepare for us, and join with our companions from every time and place, prophets, apostles, martyrs, and all you call, through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Father,
your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven.
We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we stand, let us pray. God of steadfast love, watch over the church redeemed by the blood of your Son. May we who share in these holy mysteries come safely to your eternal kingdom, where there is one flock and one shepherd. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. May Christ the Good Shepherd bless and guide you this day and always. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good, and that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
And now it's time for children to come up and play and make a glorious, joyful noise. And one extra thing today, this song just cries out to march around the building. You'll know why, because where's my park? No. Anyway, I wonder if one of you, maybe Michael, could take the lead and lead everybody around the church. No, don't run away just because I say that. If you don't want to, you don't have to.
Yeah.